Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Light show, and I have some guests who are going to call in, and the call-in number is 760-542-4345. Feel free for anyone to call in, but particularly if James and Sophia and David want to call in, or Anatole, the number you need to call in is 760-542-4345. And anybody else can call in with a question or comment. And I will see. I'm struggling with some technical issues tonight. The chat room doesn't seem to be setting up. But I believe if you call in the guest call-in number, 760-542-4346. You'll be able to get on. And just once you get through with that number, dial 1. And in fact, what I may do is play another piece of music so I can see if I can get in touch with our guests. And happy to hear from anyone out there.
Thank you.
Okay, and still struggling with some technical difficulties. Feel free to call in, and we've got someone here, so it looks like, and I'm unmiking you. Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Excellent. The beauties of technology. Yahoo, thank you so much. And go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, great. Yeah, so my name is James Norris, and I am the CEO of SelfSpark, which is a social enterprise that's new to D.C., and we are on a mission to end lifestyle disease. And what we do to do that is to run life hacking events around the world where we teach people how to use evidence-based technologies for change. So it's self-improvement 2.0. It's this new intersection of the art and science of changing your life with the latest technologies and tools to make it a little bit easier.
Excellent. So go ahead. Just fill all that out. What does that mean?
Oh, great. Okay. So it means we run events. We have a lot of fun in our events. They're experiential. For example, the big one we have coming up is on September 13th and 14th here in D.C. It's at 1776, and it's 2 days, 10 TED-style talks. Each of these local experts teaches you how to improve your mind, your body, or your sleep. And so they're taking their experience, their wisdom, their technologies, their tools, and just sharing it in a 20-minute talk. And the key for us, though, is talks are great, inspiration is fantastic, but you got to put it into practice. So here, you're not allowed to leave the event until you actually get some stuff done. So you pull out your laptop after the morning talks and actually sign up for a gym membership, or you download a few sleep apps or meditation apps, and you start experimenting. So you actually get to work. And the key is we set up this 30-day plan for you where it includes all these tools, includes the peer support, so peer groups, accountability partners, that sort of thing. And if you want, we can actually put money on the line where if you succeed in your goals in, like, day 30, if you actually did lose weight or improve your sleep or whatever you're going to work on, then you get paid back. And I should say, no matter what, we do pay you back because we just want to provide that symbolic value for your effort. But you can put your own money and do more if you feel like that's going to be an incentive for you. Some people do. A lot of people don't. But it's a nice thing that we offer just to, put some skin in the game, make it a little bit more serious. Because we know how hard change is, but if we bring this all to bear in a concentrated event with the right people, then we can actually get some change.
Cool. So back up and tell me a little bit more about the mission and just some of the background thinking about where you're at.
Sure. So, this is twofold. Like, we're trying to prevent heart disease and lung cancer and depression and a lot of the things that, they affect all of us, either directly or through friends and family. And so my story is very personal, but I do share it to honor her. So I lost my mom to lung cancer when I was 16, and it was one of the hardest things that, a young kid has to go through. And I don't want anyone else to have to go through that. And so it's shocking to me that so much of this is preventable and that we're not doing enough about it. So that's one side of the story. And the other side is more around the flourishing. Like when you get past the state of disease and not lack of wellness, then what happens? Then what do you do? What's important after that is around a life well lived. It's around self-actualization, if you will, or whatever path you're on towards your highest and best self. So SelfSpark really embraces both, and we run these events. We've done, I think I mentioned, 80 now in 8 cities for over 1,000 people. Every time we're learning and trying to get better and better at helping bring out the best in people. And so a lot of this is also open innovation, where if you're a local expert, like, we're taking some of DC's best and giving them a shot to promote what they do. So they come if they've got a practice around, maybe they're a coach or maybe they're a nutritionist or an exercise physiologist. We bring them in and then let them share their purpose and their passions with the clients that we bring up and make that kind of community come to life. So for me, a personal level, it's a lot of fun to finally get to meet the other conscious folks that care about this sort of thing, because you don't get that very often in your day-to-day life. So Spark Weekend is also that reprieve or respite from the daily grind and coming to a place that just with authentic, fun, extraordinary people. It's a lot of fun. So.
And do you go city by city? You're like doing this around, or are you here in DC trying to set up a community? Or
yeah, so we are we're young to DC. We've gotten maybe 60 people on our Facebook, so we're getting started. In Singapore, we had a bigger presence. We had 550. So numbers are part of it. We're trying to build that you know ecosystem of conscious people trying to improve themselves in DC. And the idea is our core team is actually nomadic. We're planting seeds around the world. So we're trying to figure out the next city we would go and try to spark. But we're always building local community, trying to build an office here as well, where we have folks here that really get the mission, that want to continue doing events. And if all goes well, we'll do another Spark Weekend around a specific area like weight loss or a specific area like mindfulness or just on sleep, and go directly into specific needs. So the events are, you know, they can be small. The biggest event we've done was 150 people, but it ranges on what's needed and what's demanded in the city. If you want to learn more, I don't know how much we'll talk through it, but all the information for DC is on dc.sparkweekend.com, and so that's the basic one. Or you can go to sparkweekend.com and see the whole global site and all the other events that we're putting on. And then if you want more, there's selfspark.com with the other programs we've done. A lot of our stuff is free and open source. We give it away to the world. So there are things on there that can help you grow, help you become more productive, or help you improve parts of your life. Because if you don't tackle change holistically, if you don't look at every piece of the person, it's really hard to get anything actually done. So with smoking, for example, concrete example, if you just say stop smoking, that's not really going to do much. If you look at the reasons why they're smoking, maybe the social or the stress reduction, then you start to get a clearer picture. And if you can try to replace that habit with other more healthy, productive habits, hanging out with friends or eating something healthy, you can start to tackle this. But you got to know why they're stressed out, and maybe it's finances, and maybe they just have not gotten some of the basics down around sleep, for example. If their sleep is off, they're more stressed out during the day when they start smoking. So tackle that all together, and you've got a much better shot.
Yeah, so go ahead and spell those websites so people get a chance.
Sure, it's dc.sparkweekend.com. SparkWeekend.com. Yeah, so if you can't find it, just type Spark Weekend or Self Spark in Google or whatever search engine you use, and you should find us.
Cool. So Spark as in a spark of a fire.
Yeah. So Spark's the flame within. It's, you know, everyone has that fire, and sometimes you need to give it a little bit of air and fan it. Some people are just doing extraordinarily well. We want them to come, too, because they can share what they've learned and help others. So I go city to city looking for these amazing people, and I've never actually been able to find them unless I actively go one by one, emailing, Facebook, call, and I finally get a chance to connect with them. But there are very few events that do that, that bring them all together.
Yeah, that's kind of unique. So is your plan to keep doing this model? You come to an area for how long, and then when do you go to the next area? How does that all work?
Yeah, so our model is actually a licensing model, in that anyone that fits with our ethos and our culture, we can give them a license to do the event. So if you look at TEDx, most people don't realize this, but TEDx has a licensing structure that scaled to 1,200 cities, and it's for 4 years. So they became what I believe is the fastest growing events platform in history. And it's really exciting to think if we do this right, we can reach, you know, a few hundred cities or 1,000 even in the future. We've reached 8, so we're getting there. But it's humbling to see how far we could go.
Yeah. And so what's the usual amount of time you stay in one area, and then how long till you move on?
I miss you in D.C. There is no usual. We're a young company. We're only a few years old. We've been here since February. We'll be here at least until next month and the month after. And we built those folks here. We've given them tools, so they're hoping that they continue to do the events after we go. And that usually has been the case. I can tell you some of the people we've actually recruited and hired here are not coming with us. They're staying here. So I really hope they can keep the fire alive, and I have every intention to help with that. So it's interesting. I spent 4 years in Singapore, so I left Texas where I'm from, and I shifted from a city-based concept, like I'm a Houstonian, or I'm a Texan, or I'm an American, to I'm a global citizen. And so that shift is now permanent in my mind, where every different city is just one piece. It's like one neighborhood of one city. That's kind of how I look at it. So, you know, Houston to D.C. to Singapore are just different neighborhoods of the same city. That's kind of how I perceive it now. So, long story short, I don't know, but we will be back. Definitely.
Right. Well, yeah, it's an experiment and a working model. It's a work in progress. I hear you, and that's excellent. I actually lived in Singapore. We'll have to compare notes sometime. And but there's this whole concept of global nomad, and the whole world is definitely becoming much more interrelated, and part of the imbalance that's going on in the world can be repaired by taking the good things from, you know, it's good things and bad things everywhere, and when we share what works and connect, particularly in the West, we focused a lot on outer resources, and in the East, they've focused a lot on inner resources, and sometimes the outer world is falling apart in some places, and so we all need to help each other out and get balanced.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that, and we're trying to synthesize all the different approaches that we've found and give them all a shot. You know, this is where we take the local speakers and local partners. We have 18 now for D.C., so you're going to eat well if you come. It's you get, and not just food. There's the gyms and so on. So everyone has a different facet of the story for change, and we're trying our best to filter and bring them and let you experience the ones that are most effective for you.
Yeah, and so tell more about what does holistic health mean to you, and is it just mostly just focusing on disease, or is it a broader thing?
Oh, so the holistic side is, if you do this, if you study behavior change, you realize we don't know much about it. That's the one thing to say. But when you start getting into the theories, there, you know, are dozens. The ones that explain the most amount of behavior change in real life seem to be the ones that know that you're a whole person. So mind, body, heart, spirit. Like if you forget one of these pieces, you're going to have a bad time. I'm quoting South Park now. It's better if you start thinking about someone as a person that's also not just an individual unit, but that person is connected to a partner or a family or in a working environment and a community and a country, and all those different pieces of the puzzle should be addressed if you want to make change. So, for example, like we can talk about sleep. You want to try to change sleep. You're going to come. The speakers in the morning will do their thing and teach you a few things that you might not have known and try to inspire you and get you to take action. They challenge you to do something, And that specific challenge is like, I'm going to go to bed at the same time every day for the next month, or I'm going to use Sleep Cycle as an app, or I'm going to reward myself if I get up at the time I desire at least once a week for the next 4 weeks. So those are the kind of challenges you might get. And so we get them to start working on them in the afternoons with their laptops before they go. And when I'm going to sit down with you one-on-one, I want to know, why haven't you been so far? And I usually, when you start doing Socratic Method and you dive into who they are, it's not them, maybe it's their partner. Maybe their partner snores. Or maybe they've been so stressed they're not able to get to bed at a reasonable hour for them. Or they might have something called delayed sleep phase syndrome. These are different types of disorders and syndromes that you might not know you have. And I discovered this about myself. My circadian rhythm seems to reset every night. So I have to be really diligent if I want to keep a consistent sleep schedule, because my body does not seem to correspond to the rest of society. I was the kind of guy that would go to bed at 7 a.m. I would go to bed with the sun and wake up, 8 hours later or so. I did that for months because that's where my body would set. So you start getting into all those details, and clearly, like, there are pieces you have to unravel, but that's where we do the one-on-one time. That's where you have a lot of experts and mentors, because it's not just willpower. I think most people listening to this know it's a little beyond just willpower. That's a big part of it, but it's the whole system together.
Yep, that's great. And do you have any ideas about why that's not happening now, and why the holistic model isn't as mainstream as it might be?
Well, so it's the reason that we don't take care of ourselves as we should or could, if you want to use that language, is because it's really hard and we're overwhelmed and we're not really bringing our best resources to bear on these problems, even though they're so important. We know sleep is important. We know eating well is important. We know taking time for meditation is important. But there are so many compelling stresses that come up, urgent demands that command our attention and distract us from longer-term perspectives. So there's a term called hyperbolic discounting. It's how you perceive time and how you perceive reward. Basically, the short things that are coming up in the short term are much more salient to you, much more potent than things that are come up later, like in a year or 10 years. And so naturally, because of how we're designed, by evolution or whatever you want to believe, we tend to default to these short-term focused areas. But behavior change needs to be holistic. And I've met people who've done this on their own. I've met people that seem to stumble into these techniques for change. Very few. Very, very, very few. I tend to see, they've discovered things that the behavioral science has been telling us for years. And it's shocking that we tend to converge on these truths about how change works. There's obviously things on the perimeter, on the boundaries that we don't really know yet, which is great. We explore a lot of that. We're trying to see the things that haven't been tested yet that we don't know, new technologies or techniques. That's really exciting to us. But you have to be mindful that a lot of these will not bear fruit, and you just go with that.
Right. And any thoughts about why isn't this information just readily available, and why is it that the holistic model isn't is still kind of a lot of people don't know about it?
A lot of behavior change practitioners do know about it, which is the thing to say. Some doctors get it, some coaches get it, and I don't want to say that, there's this expertise here. It takes a few years, I guess, to study this and to start testing and to see what works. You read literature, you practice on with yourself, you work with clients and customers, and you help them change. So I think maybe it takes a lot of effort to
to build up to that level of understanding about how, you know, how your body works, how your mind works. And I still have a long way to go, of course. This is something that you can, I've been working on personal development for 15 years now, and I still have issues, and I'm okay with admitting that because you have to practice self-compassion. So it's interesting. We think that we naturally will know how to live just because we're living, or we think we'll naturally know how to love just because we're loving. We don't think we're naturally going to know how to drive a car or other things like that. We don't naturally know how to play basketball or whatnot. So these are skills that you can develop. And I don't know if that's the best metaphor, but if you want to be a good lover and you want to be a great partner, you do need to know something about social psychology. And you know something about how the neurohormones work in your partner's body when you say something or when you don't say something. And so you've got to practice. You've got to learn. And this is something that if you're motivated, sure, you're going to do it and become excellent at it. If you're not, then you're going to struggle. So same thing with losing weight. There's research behind this. There are ways that work. And you just have to discover them. You can read things online all you want, and that's fantastic to start learning. But there's so much noise out there to signal, it's challenging. So I think I'm super frustrated all the time with the level, with the stuff that's published that we have no real way of knowing what we should try, what's effective. So there's a lot of confusion out there in that sense too, and we have to be mindful of that because we're all learning, we're all trying to explore, and science does not have the end-all, be-all for everything. Of course, there's limitations to every different type of modality of thinking. So it gets to a really confusing mess why all this happens, so I can't say much more beyond that.
Okay, yeah, I hear you. And a lot of the holistic stuff, for example, isn't covered by insurance and things like that.
What irks me is we're not doing enough prevention, and some of these things are it's frustrating. But you're asking a very big question that has so many different pieces. So just in the insurance part alone, if we're talking just about the U.S. and we're talking about which state and we're talking about which type of disease we're trying to prevent or other ailment we're trying to prevent, and, you know, most of healthcare is focused around disease care. It's not really focused on flourishing, on health and well-being, and in the way that I think you and I would probably prefer. And so I can't speak to that because you have to know a lot about the politics, about the society, the culture, the history. There's so many different facets behind that.
Yeah, I hear you there. So I want to try to bring in Anatole. I'm not sure. I'm going to try unmiking him, and I don't know if that's going to cause you to be muted. Let me see how this works here. Hi there. I just unmiked you. Can you hear me? Hi. Go ahead. Hello. So I just unmiked someone there. Is this Anatole? Might be someone else. There was someone who was waiting in line. Maybe you weren't waiting in, for purpose. Do you have any comments or questions?
I can understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me
I guess not.
Back.
Maybe that means they agree with everything
here.
You just said.
Hello, I've just unmiked you. Go ahead. Did you have a question or comment? Hi there. You were in the call-in queue. Did you want to join the conversation?
Yeah, I would like to join the conversation, but I don't have a comment right now.
Okay. So did you hear the mission statement about Spark? Any thoughts about that? This is Dr. Anatole from modernseers.org.
I just joined in. I did not hear anything until this point.
Oh, okay. So now's maybe a good time. James, you want to quickly tell them your mission statement again?
Sure. we are on a mission to end lifestyle disease, and we run life hacking events around the world where we teach people evidence-based technologies for behavior change. So we're trying to tackle those root causes for heart disease and lung disease and other preventable problems that are mostly related to behavior. And we're trying to make it cool and trying to make it accessible to people. So we run these fun events around the world where we teach them these technologies and techniques. And then the key for our model is we follow up with them and we'll pay them cash by day 30 if they actually change their habits, like lose weight or improve their sleep.
TEDx.
I think I got the idea. Okay. Am I still on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're waiting for a cue from the host. Well, I'll definitely leave one bit of wisdom or tip. So we're on this call, we're listening. Presumably, we all want to change. I just watched a talk called Why TED Talks Don't Change Your Life, and there's a lot of truth to that. Some TED Talks are fantastic. We love them, and they do change your life. Some do not. So I'm wary that this conversation might not change people listening either. So I would ask you, if you're listening, if you do want to make a change, to pull out your computer or your planner or your calendar or your to-do list, whatever you're going to use to process in a new task. And so if I could do one thing is encourage you all to write down a specific day, time, and location where you're going to spend at least 1 hour on yourself. And so you can spend that time on mind, body, sleep, like we're doing for the Spark Weekend coming up, or on relationships, or on career, whatever it is for you. But a date, time, and location that you're going to commit to yourself to spend at least 1 hour working on your own goals. It could be writing them out. It could be starting to work on some of them, whatever you need to do. And you got to be honest with yourself, because if you think this is a good idea, and I hope most of you do, and you think, oh, that's a good idea, maybe I'll do it, maybe not, then you need to find a partner. So if you have any suspicion, thinking suspicion that you won't do it, the next step is bring in a partner or two. So daytime, location, group of people, and they're all similarly committed to working on themselves for an hour. If you put accountability, not just for yourself, it's pretty easy to not honor your own commitment sometimes. But if you have two other people that are also similarly committed, and if you don't show up, it's going to hurt them, then you might be more motivated to do it. And so if you want, you can do a full day if you really want to get it. I'm just saying an hour, but we have an event called a personal hackathon, which is free. You can go to our website. It's personalhackathon.com. And it's basically a format for setting up one of these days or these time periods where you can work on yourself. So I would deeply recommend you take that time, because if you're going to be honest with yourself, look back in like last month, last 6 months, last year, how much time did you really spend on what's most important to you? How much time did you spend on personal capacity, on becoming that person that you can be? And so I'm just asking for an hour. And because we know this doesn't happen unless you make it happen, I'm saying next 7 days, you should do it. And I would love, love, love for anyone listening to email me and tell me how it went. So I am james@selfspark.com, and I'm happy to do a quick bit of coaching if you need it, but james@selfspark.com, tell me how it went, because we're listening, we're engaged in a conversation right now, but if it doesn't yield any action that you can write down, you can see, then I feel like I might not have been the best use of your time. So do that for me, do it for yourself, and that would make for hopefully a better future for everyone.
That's excellent, James. And So this, I want this show to be, you know, something that you would want to put on your blog or somewhere that you would want to put this link. So any other thoughts or ideas or information you want to share at this time?
I think that would be... Yeah, my call to the universe, the DC universe, is if you resonate, if you grok what we're doing, I'd love for you to come to the event to spread the word to your communities, and if you really like this, come join our team. So we really do care about sparking lives around the world, but DC is full of change makers and full of people that we think have potency. If you can change the change maker, if you can help these folks in D.C. do their jobs better, build their organizations more effectively, then we have this meta-level impact in the world. So closing thoughts are, help us spark the world.
Cool. And this this is particularly going out on the Internet, so it's not necessarily mostly D.C. people that will be listening. But so give the Spark website again.
Sure. Then the global site is sparkweekend.com. And we've got events planning. We're trying to get San Francisco and then New York next.
And DC.
Yeah, for DC listeners, it's dc.sparkweekend.com.
Okay. And for the not DC, it's?
sparkweekend.com.
No, okay, that's for the D.C., but for the other people all around the world? The main home website.
Yeah, okay, the main one would be selfspark.com. Selfspark.
Selfspark. So one word, selfspark?
Yeah.
Okay. selfspark.com.
Yep. You got it.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. Anatole, did you have any comment before we wrap up?
Not really.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I want to thank everybody, and especially thank you, James. And this is exciting, and good luck with it all. And let's catch up soon.
Is this love flooding to me in a dream? Is this love filling all my life with meaning? I thought that you were far away from me, but tonight I feel no distance. I see you standing in the clear sky as I touch you to reach on high. Won't you let my heart stay still? A sweetness in the near distance. Words I thought to utter now lie still, and in my mind just thoughts of you. Is this love? Is this love flowing through me in dreams? Is this love filling all my life with meaning? Your soft wind takes my heart by storm. I find the stillness that's a center, and pass through worlds I never dreamed of. I see you come and let the darkness die. I love you.